love Proverbs 31. Because in Proverbs 31, God is revealing to me and he's opening my spirit and my soul up to what I can be, who I am. And so many years ago when I would read Proverbs 31, and I know I'm like a, you know, I just say this over and over again. It could be a couple of reasons. Maybe I'm just getting old and forgetting what I'm saying. Or maybe it's the string on my guitar regarding this issue, and I play it over and over because it's the note that I can sing, and that is that God said to me, this isn't who you are supposed to be, this is who you are. The DNA of this woman is deep on the inside of you. Every bit of treasure and brilliance and goodness and loveliness and the femininity of your womanhood made in the image of God is all locked up. And it's all on the inside waiting to come out and to be beautiful and to live beautifully on this world and in this planet as a daughter of God. God wants his daughters to live beautifully and to be beautiful. And there has been an enemy of our soul, an enemy, a treacherous, unlawful, disrespectful, evil, malevolent, being beyond anything my mind or your mind can wrap around. His name is Lucifer, now Satan, who hates womanhood. He's hated us from the beginning. He hates all that God stands for. He hates mankind. He had a plan to destroy mankind. Jesus very succinctly describes it in John, the 10th chapter, John 10:10. He said, the thief, speaking of Satan, comes to, say it with me, steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. And the life that he's talking about is the Zoe life of God, the God kind of life, the life that exists by itself, the life that is the light of man, that life that comes into your heart and my heart, that turns on the lights, that opens the doors, that pulls out the windows, that lets the light in, that begins to clean out all the darkness and the dust. And lo and behold, as you begin to see this woman, all of a sudden you begin to see that is who you are. Amazing, incredible, brilliant, wonderful daughter, king and a priest of God on the earth. But if we don't know this, then we're going to buy the lie that we're stupid women, that we are rebellious, that we are manipulative, that we are seductive, that we cannot be trusted, that we talk too much. I can't believe they say that. Hurts my heart that we talk too much. Vicious rumor. We'll believe the lies that the enemy has said to us, and that our world actually lives out in front of us. You know, you can make a law. You can make a law for equality, but you can't put that law in a man's heart. It's either there by God in goodness and justice, or it's not there. So people can go along with the law, but in their hearts they're thinking something far different of you. And so this is what I'm trying to say, is until there's a heart change, until you see yourself as this woman, because you've been born of the Spirit of God. When you said yes to Jesus Christ, he took you out of the kingdom of darkness where you were bound as a slave. He took the chains off of your heart. He breathed his life into you. He gave you his Holy Spirit. And then he said, open your life as you open my book and bloom and be beautiful and dwell magnificently on this earth as my daughter. And that's the life he's handed to us. But if we don't know what it is or what it looks like, we can go back to the old ways and we can actually make the devil look like he's winning. So I don't know about you, but I want to be this woman. I want to grow. I want to learn. And I'm 61 years old in just a couple of weeks. November 7th is my birthday. I'll be 61. And my gosh, you would have think I'd have grown up a whole lot more than this by now. Because I don't have a lot of years left to grow up. But God has comforted my heart, and he said to me that I will perfect that which concerns you. And I am he who is able to keep you from stumbling and make you stand before my presence, blameless with great joy. And so the Lord God is good to us. So, Father, as we take the word this morning, as we hold the word in our hands, Lord, we ask that you would begin to deposit it in our hearts. Lord, I pray for just a environmental anointing in this place, Lord, that every believer here in the sound of my voice would absolutely and positively be overwhelmed with the anointing of the Holy Spirit to understand and to see the magnificence of this daughter of God as she works out her salvation with Jesus Christ. So, Lord, open our hearts, open our eyes, and we, my Father, love you and praise you. Holy Spirit, oh, mighty Spirit of God, Spirit of life, living water, oil of anointing, fall on us, envelop us, wrap our hearts, and help us to learn today. For we are children, and we want to grow up and make his name famous on the earth through our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 31, 10:05. Well, do you think you should stand up for just a minute? Because you know me. Why don't you stand up for just a minute? All right, let's do the massage. Yeah, I'm getting you ready now. I got a lot. I got 10 pages of notes here, so get on it, all right? And just, you know, get on somebody's shoulder. Come on, touch each other. It's okay to touch. Nothing weird is going on. And don't hurt the girl in front of you. Gentle. Gentle. Okay? Oh, does that feel good? Yeah? Ah, can I don't want to put you to sleep. All right, now switch into the other girl. Okay, I knew you could not do this quietly. All right, that's it. Down on your little bums and let's go to work. Let's go to lesson number 4. Today we're going to be covering 4 verses, Proverbs 31, 21, 22, 23, and 24. Like I said, I have a lot to say. I'm going to go quickly. So let's just revert back for just a moment about the definition of a virtuous woman. God's daughters are wonderfully designed to be, this is you and me, incredibly strong. Oh, sorry, exceptionally strong, incredibly beautiful, and unusually brilliant. Why? Because you have the life of God living on the inside of you. So you are strong, you are brilliant, and you are incredibly beautiful. Now, you may not feel beautiful, but that doesn't make one bit of difference. Because whether you like it or not, you're made in the image of God, and he is beautiful, and therefore you and I are beautiful. And the standard of beauty that the world sets is not the standard of beauty that God sets. And remember, this is nothing more than a tent that I'm wearing. My real me is my spirit, and my spirit is stunning. My spirit has long blonde hair all the way down to here, big thick curls, big hair. Big. So big, it's like you have to move it around to see my face. And my spirit is like 38, 22, 34. Huh? Oh. And I got these really long, skinny legs that never have cellulite on them. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. Just put my order in. Let's see if it works. Okay. We are incredibly beautiful. So Proverbs 31, 21, and 24, let me read it to you, picking out a pair of glasses here that might work. She is not afraid for the snow of her... She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. Verse 22, she makes tapestries for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple.
Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. And verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants.
Now we're going to look at those four verses this morning, and we're going to look, remember, this is an acrostic, which means that at the beginning of each proverb that there is the letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And we are on the letter number 15. So going to Proverbs 31, 21, it says that she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. Now the letter here is Lamed. I'm probably just really messing that up, but that's all right. You don't speak Hebrew and neither do I. Is there anybody in here that speaks Hebrew? Lamed? Ah, it works for us. We're Gentiles. All right. Lamed. Where? Is that right? Oh, there you are. Is that right, Lamed? Lamed. Thank you. Little Jewish, gorgeous little girl. Lamed. This is Lamed. And it is the symbol of an axe goad. Now, you may ask me, what is an axe goad? And I would tell you, I don't have the faintest idea what an axe goad is. But I did look it up, Google, and Google can tell you anything. And an axe goad actually is a cattle prodder. Now, I had horses, and I, my first husband in the dark days, he was a rancher. And we had pack stations, and we moved cattle. So I do understand a cattle prodder. Our cattle prodders were always electronic, you know, and it was electricity. And it was fun to use that cattle prodder on him sometimes. But anyway. But a cattle prodder or a prodder was something that was a long stick and that you would go behind the oxen as they're working in the field. And it was probably about 6 feet long. And the one end of it was a sharp point like a spear. And on the other end of it was like a shovel. And so they would take these ox goads and they would prick the oxen so that they would go faster because they're plowing the fields with their oxen. And so they just prick them, and then when the day was done, they would take the shovel, and they would clean off the plows. It was really quite a very useful tool, and it also was a weapon, because I can just give you the history here, I'll just tell you what happened. Let's see. It was a pole 8 to 10 feet long, and Shagmar in the Bible, in the early days of Israel, killed 600 men with an ox goad, so it could be used as a weapon. But it was a tool. Now, everything that is said means something. Now, let's look at this. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. And the symbol for this is an ox goad. Now, the interesting thing is that an ox goad is talked about in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. So let's go there. Ecclesiastes 12:11. It says, the words of the wise are like prodding goads, and firmly fixed in the mind, like nails are the collected sayings which are given as proceeding from one shepherd. Huh? What does that mean? Let's read it again. The words of the wise are like prodding goads, and firmly fixed in the mind, like nails, are the collected sayings which are given as proceeding from one shepherd. The words of the wise are like prodding goads. The words of the wise are like an ox goad, prodding and moving and keeping the family moving. They're like nails that you can hang something up on that secures something. The words of the wise. So this woman, let's go back to the verse now. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean to me? I'm really confused. Anybody confused? All right. It means two things. That she fears not because she knows the word of God, and she knows and understands the blood of Jesus, and she uses it on her house. She fears not the storms of life that are coming, because they're coming. Storms will come to the good and the bad, the rich and the poor, the righteous and the unjust. But this woman says she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for her family, for her children, for all her household is clothed with what color? Scarlet. Now, the only place to get scarlet was the tola worm. The tola worm was very rare, and you had to break it and mash it, and it brought forth a blood juice that dyed your linen or your wool. Remember now, the distaff, and she's spinning. Now, remember this about this woman. There are no clothes unless she farms, unless she twists the threads, unless she makes the yarn, she weaves the cloth, and she sews the garment. Have we all got that? So this is an ongoing project in every woman's life in this day. No woman was exempt from this, unless maybe you were the richest of the rich of the rich and you had maids that did it for you. But every woman, this was her job. If you didn't spin, if you didn't weave, and if you didn't sew, your kids would be butt naked, and when the winter came and the snow came, they'd freeze to death. So it was important that you always got that work done. That was something that was never out of your life. If you can just think of things in your life right now, they will never be out of your life. That's what this is. That's what this is. But she's not afraid when the storms come. Why? Because she's already done what she's supposed to do. She's prepared for the storms. She understands. So fear has no place to grip her when she hears the storms are coming. Because she knows she's not afraid. She's an axe goad, and that verse now in Ecclesiastes talks about the goad. So let's go there one more time, and maybe this will all tie up for you. The words of the wise are like prodding goads and firmly fixed in the mind. Like nails are the collected sayings which are given as protruding or proceeding from one shepherd. One shepherd, of course, is speaking of Jesus Christ. The words of Jesus are like nails that hang on. They're like prodding goads that you would use to keep the oxen going. This woman knows the word of God, so she is not afraid. Girls, storms are coming. Storms are here. But when we know what God says, when we know that God's promises are more real than the fact of this natural world, we're not going to be afraid. Because if Satan can keep us in fear, he'll keep us out of faith. And God's called us to live by faith. Is that not true? She fears not for her household. She knows the word, which is the ox goat, and she knows how to use the blood. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." The fear of men bring a snare. When you're afraid of men, when you're afraid of what they're going to do, of how they're going to manipulate, how they're going to think of you, what they're going to say to you, your boss, this person, that person, when you live your life trying to get approval from man because you are afraid of humanity, it's going to bring you into a snare. You're going to follow the crowd. You're going to follow all the sayings. You're going to follow the they. You know who the they are? Does anybody know who the they are? Well, you know they say. And we've all been looking for the they. I've been looking for years, and I have never found a they. But you don't follow the theys. You follow the word of God. Those who fear God, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Psalm 119, 165, Amplified. Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing shall offend them or make them stumble. Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing shall offend them or cause them to stumble. I just found out my husband's losing his job. Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing shall offend or cause them to stumble. Oh, my house, I can't pay my payment. They're gonna foreclose on it. Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing shall cause them to be offended or to stumble. We just got the doctor's report. I'm in stage 4 cancer. Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing shall cause them to fall or to stumble. Why? Because I know the word of God, and there is the fact of the natural world, and then there is the truth and the promise of Almighty God, and the truth of God overwhelms the facts of this world. It is subject to change in the kingdom of God. But if I don't know that, I'll let the fear of man and the fear of circumstances and the fear of this world crashing down. It will cause me to live life depressed, despondent, discouraged, afraid,
but she's not afraid when the snow comes.
Why? Because she has clothed her family. She's put something on them. She's prayed the word over her children. Oh, my disciples are taught of the Lord. All my children are disciples taught of the Lord. They are obedient to God's kingdom word. And great is their peace and their undisturbed composure. Oh, God, I pray over my children this morning. They'll not be able to stand in the council of the ungodly as they go to junior high. They'll not be able to sit down and rest where the mocker and the scornful are as they go into high school. But they will delight in your law, Father, and in your law they will meditate day and night. My children shall become trees living by the living waters of Almighty God, bringing forth fruit in their season. Their leaf shall not wither. Their fruit will not fall. For God, they belong to you. I know the word, and I'm not afraid of the storms that are coming. Then she knows the blood, because it says here, she fears not, her house is clothed in scarlet, his blood. She knows the word, but oh, she uses the blood. The blood. New Christians don't know what that is. The blood. God very succinctly and very, very definitely, now remember, everything means something. In this book and in creation, creation speaks of God. Creation is crying out and speaking of the Godhead. That's Romans chapter 1. God created everything to say something concerning him, his glory, and his Godhead. So blood isn't just something that happened. God put blood in these bodies to teach us. Now, God began to teach Israel about the blood at the fall, when God took Adam and Eve, killed an animal, shed blood, and covered them with animal skins. Because now they were fallen beings. They had turned earth's rule over to Satan. They were naked. They tried to cover themselves up with fig leaves. That wasn't working. So the first act that we see is God covers them in animal skins, which meant he killed an innocent animal and blood was shed. So in Leviticus chapter 17, let me tell you this. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, God says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." Now here God's giving us a clue. He sets up the blood sacrifice in Israel. He sets up the blood covenant with Abraham. We've taught you blood covenant. It's the most solemn binding agreement in the universe. A blood covenant is when two people take an animal, they take three animals, they cut the animals in half. They put one on one side and one on the other. There's blood covenant in every continent of this world in antiquity. And they would walk through the blood of this of these shed animals, and they would walk through the blood, and they would walk as a figure eight, and they would say, "This signifies the covenant or the agreement, the contract that we have together. We are doing the blood walk together. These animals have been killed, and as surely as these animals' blood has been shed, and we have walked through it, and now we face each other, as surely as that has happened, even so, let that happen to you and I if we break this covenant." Blood covenant. So God institutes blood covenant with Abraham. Abraham has Isaac. Isaac has Jacob. Jacob has 12 sons. The 12 sons have 12 tribes. They're now been taken out of Egypt, and now they're in the wilderness, and God is telling them about the sacrifices. He's setting up the blood sacrifice now. And sacrifice is a substitution. Israel is sinful. God can't look upon sin. So God institutes the blood sacrifice. And he says to them, "The life of the flesh is in the blood." Leviticus chapter 17. He says, "For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." Atonement means it covers up your sin. God is holy. You and I are sinful. He can't be with us because of the sin in our lives. Something has to come between us so that we can have a relationship with him. So in the Old Testament, he instituted the blood covenant. He instituted the sacrifices. Now that blood covered Israel for 1 year. The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. They would shed that blood. They would sprinkle it on the Holy of Holies. They'd sprinkle it all over the books of the law, into the temple, and they'd sprinkle it on Israel. And by the sprinkling of that blood on them, they were atoned. They were forgiven, and they were passed over. Are you with me? Because the life of the flesh is what? In the blood. The life of the flesh is?
In the blood.
The life of the flesh is?
In the blood.
We know that blood carries oxygen. We know that blood feeds us. And we know that blood protects us. Those three major things are what blood does. God says the life of the flesh is in the blood. Blood is for atonement. Everything is sanctified and set apart by blood. Now I'm talking about this woman who knows the word, and she's not afraid of the storms, for her family is clothed in scarlet. That scarlet thread, that blood color, has been woven through the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament. And Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, not loving their lives unto death. So these people that are fighting in Revelation chapter 12 overcame by the blood of the Lamb. So what does that mean? It means that the blood of Jesus, the blood, the life of the flesh is in the blood. True or not? Does everybody have a different type of blood? There's A, B, O, plus, positive, right? We all have different types of blood. We are all of one blood, but we have different types of blood. When Jesus Christ hung on that cross and that blood began to spill on the earth, and then when he went into hell and when he led captivity captive and when he rose and when he walked that blood sacrifice, his own blood, and he put it on the mercy seat of heaven because sin started in heaven and not the earth. Satan rebelled in heaven. That blood, the life of the flesh, is in the life of God. The Zoe life of God. Life that exists in and by itself. Life that swallows up death. Life where sickness and disease cannot stand in the presence of the life that is in the blood of Jesus. That blood cleansed us forever. It didn't just make us good for a little while. It totally cleansed us and freed us and gave us a brand new life. The blood of Jesus washes us, gives us healing in our body. Why? Because now his blood, the life in his blood is in me. What's going to kill Jesus? What's going to harm my children? When I put the blood over their hearts. I put the blood on the doorposts of my home. I speak the blood of Jesus over that sickness and that disease. I take the life in that blood. And Father, I just thank you. I just thank you, Lord, that I have a sound mind by the blood of Jesus. My mind is sharp. My mind remembers what it needs to remember. My body is healed. My body is whole. I am not afraid of the storms that are coming because I know the word of God and I know how to use the scarlet letter, the blood of Jesus that has the life of God in it over every situation in my house. And girls, he shed that blood for you and me. And if you're not using the blood of Jesus in faith, Lord, I just thank you for the life that's in that blood. I thank you now in Jesus' name that my child is healed by the blood of the Lamb, by the name of Jesus. I thank you that my husband is healed in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. And you begin to invoke his name, that name that is above every name. He is God Almighty. He is the living Father, the everlasting Father. He is maker of heaven and earth. He holds it all together by the word of his testimony. His hands hold this planet in place, and his mighty hands hold your heart still when a storm comes. Jesus. But do you know the blood and do you know the word? She knows the blood and the word. Let's go on to the next one. Wow, didn't mean to go quite so long. Blood. I hear Eleanor all the time. Oh, the blood. Oh, the blood. Oh, the blood. Oh, the blood. Her little South African accent. Oh, blood of Jesus. She walks around the hall. Oh, blood of Jesus. Oh, blood of Jesus. I'm just going. She's praying for somebody. They're getting healed. It's safe to do that in the church halls, but you may want to watch who's listening to you when you're doing that outside. Okay, so she uses the blood. Let's go to 31:22. Kingdom girls know how to make beautiful lives. Proverbs 31:22. Let's read it. It says here, Proverbs 31:22, she makes tapestries for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Let me read it to you in the Amplified. She makes for herself coverlets and cushions and rugs of tapestries. Her clothing is of linen, pure and fine, and of purple, such as that of which the clothing of the priests and the hallowed clothes of the temple were made. So this woman takes time to make and create a beautiful world. She lives in a beautiful world that she's created, and she wears the beauty of her creation. So let me see if I can say it like this. She lives in a beautiful place that she has created for herself, and she is the beautiful place for her God to dwell. She lives in a beautiful place that she's created for herself, and she is the beautiful place for God to dwell. Now, how do we do that? But God, I'm not creative. I'm not this. I'm not that. Well, no, maybe you never were. But now, ta-da, it's like Snow White. You know, somebody had to kiss her to wake her up. Now he's kissing you. He's kissing his princess and saying, wake up. There's creativity on the inside of you. Wake up. The Holy Spirit's there. He made everything. He'll show you how to do it. He'll teach you how to make a curtain. He'll teach you how to do a dust ruffle. He'll teach you how to put your colors together. He'll teach you how to make a beautiful dwelling place for your family. Because you see, we do much better in beauty than we do in ugly. We weren't made for ugly. We were made for beautiful things. You were not made to live in a dump. You were made to live in heaven. My darlings, have you checked out heaven? He's the bling king, girls. He is the bling king. His gates are pearls. His asphalt is gold. His stones, the foundation stones around Zion, are precious gemstones, massive things. His building supplies, his asphalt is so pure. The gold is so pure you can see through it. See your beautiful face with all your new hair. Oh, is that me?
No.
He's amazing. He is altogether lovely. And he's put you together so that you are altogether lovely. And you have the most amazing gifts and talents on the inside of you. You just haven't had anyone encourage you that you can do it. You haven't had anyone tell you that, yeah, you can. And it's good. And it feels good. Because when you start doing things and making your home beautiful, all of a sudden your family starts to notice. They may tease you for a long time. Listen, I made curtains. Oh, my gosh. My first pair of curtains, embarrassing. But Jim loved me so much, he let me put them up. I mean, they were crooked. They were just, you know, I was like, huh? And I still have huge, huge decorating faux pas, huge ones. But you know what? I don't stop. I don't get discouraged. Okay, well, that's kind of a waste of money over there. Sorry, God, but I'm not stopping. And give yourselves a chance to grow. Give yourselves something to do. And do it and applaud yourselves because you can make a beautiful dwelling place. But let's talk about this. She lives in a beautiful place that she's created for herself. Now, I believe God says that we can fix anything and that we can turn slums into beautiful cities. Christelli, just stand up for a second. Just stand up for, just say hi, just wave. This is Christelli. She and Yako live on the corner. And Christelli is genius. I mean, she has a tremendous gift of creativity on her life, and she can take anything and make it beautiful. And she's going to be doing workshops at Christmas time and decorating and helping us. But, you know, so learn from somebody. If you can find a Christelli in your life, or, you know, watch a show on television now or do something. It doesn't have to cost money. Gosh, you guys can go to the dollar store and figure something out. Right? This isn't about how much it costs. It's about you getting your creativity going. It's about making your family excited about the seasons and the holidays. It's about celebrating life. And when they come home, you've created a piece of heaven on earth right there in your home. And they can't wait to come home to see what mom's done next. Now, are they going to tease you? Oh, yeah. They're going to tease you. But they're going to love it. And they're going to remember the smells and the beauty and the decorations, and mom, and what she did, and how she did, and those girls that don't want to be like you in any way, shape, or form, they, when they grow up, will be just like you, coming over to mom's house, teaching mom how to do new things, and then you just have generation after generation after generation of women that understand the secret and the art of creating a beautiful atmosphere for our families to live in. So enough said on that, but let's look at the second part. Not only does she live in a beautiful place that she's created, but she is a beautiful place for her God to dwell. She is a beautiful place. So let's read this again. It says here that she makes tapestries for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Now the symbol for this, where's my little Jewish girl? Right there. How do we say that? Mem? M-E-M? Mem. Mem. That's Mem. And Mem is a symbol for water. So I don't know how we get that. Maybe it's a well. Maybe it's a spigot, but that's the symbol for water. So, what does that mean? Well, it means that water is a symbol of life, and water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, is it not? The waters of life, the river of life, God's got a lot to say about water. We need water to live. And I believe that it says in John 7:38, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Rivers of living water. So the beauty on the inside of us that makes us beautiful on the outside is God the Holy Spirit. Because she is a beautiful place for him to live. So I want to talk about some things about making us a beautiful place for the Holy Spirit to live. Which means I need to talk to you about sex. This is the sex talk. Are you ready? All right, let me just give you some points. She's in touch with her femininity in the right way. She honors God with her life and her body. She makes her world beautiful and wears life beautifully as a king's daughter. She knows who she is, body, soul, and spirit. And she knows that her body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Her soul is hungry and available to learn and grow. And her spirit is open and not closed to God. So she is healthy, body, soul, and spirit. Her spirit is open to God and not closed to God. And her soul, her personality, is not crushed, it's not ruined, it's open to grow and to learn like a small child that is curious about everything. When you begin to let yourself live like that, now you can begin to flourish and blossom with the Holy Spirit. Her body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. She keeps herself pure. Now here's the thing that can knock us off. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." My body and my spirit belong to God. 1 Thessalonians 6:4-3 says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." The word sanctification means you're setting yourself apart, "that you should abstain from sexual immorality." Now, he's writing this to the church in Thessalonica. They're Gentiles. They don't have the law. They're not Jews. They don't know what's right and wrong. They're sleeping with everybody. They have temple prostitutes. I mean, sex is absolutely as free as it's going to get. You think we have free love now? You haven't seen anything until you travel back 2,000 years. I mean, the Romans bought slave boys to have as homosexual slaves. We have too many rights right now for humanity. But that's the world they were living in. It was a very, very sexual world. And it was always had something to do with temple prostitutes and idols. So They didn't know that you weren't supposed to sleep with somebody you're not married to. They had several wives. So here's Paul the apostle and all the apostles. Man, they got to clean up the act of this church, you know, because they're in sin and they don't know it. Kind of like now with me and you guys. San Bernardino. Kim. Kim's 37 years old. She didn't live with us. We didn't raise her. Jim's daughter, when she came to live with us when she was 21, she was a meth addict. I just sit her down and say, now, Kim, you know you can't sleep with men. She said, why not? I said, well, because it's wrong. Why is it wrong? And that's when I wanted to slap her upside the head, but I didn't. She had to learn. She had to learn. Now, when you get saved, God begins to deal with you. He deals with you about the big stuff first. You know, like for me, the first thing that went was mouth, the swearing. I could swear like a sailor. Anyway, I still probably could. So now I just use acronyms like Store High in Transit. You know, never mind. But the Spirit of God on the inside of us so hates sin that when you enact yourself and you engage in something that is not right, he will make you so miserable on the inside that two things are going to happen. You are either going to feel so miserable and hate it that it's no longer fun and you step away from it and you stop it because you can't stand the misery. The misery is not worth any pleasure that you once got out of it. Have you experienced that? Yes. All right. And then he begins to clean us up on the inside. I mean, the big stuff goes fast. Now it's the little stuff. Now it's the onion. I call the heart the onion. You know, it has layers and it needs to get peeled off and it stinks and makes you cry. Because now God wants to begin to do surgery on our hearts and begin to get rid of those habits and philosophies and mindsets and mannerisms that we have taken on and don't even know aren't really right. And God begins to deal with the heart. And that is what happens with the Holy Spirit. And that's what begins to make us beautiful, because he's actually doing surgery, and I call it a divine scalpel, and he's etching the image of Jesus Christ on the inside of us. I was just with a woman that was 78 years old, Dodie Osteen. She's gorgeous. She's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. And she's moved a lot of her beauty from her face to her heart. She had polio when she was 6 years old, and one leg is only this big and the other leg's that big. And then she had stage 4 terminal liver cancer 30 years ago, and their prognosis was death. She had 2 weeks to live. Well, she's 78 now, and she's alive and well, and God healed her. She is Joel Osteen's mama, and it's a massive church. Her husband John has since gone on to be with Jesus. So Dodie understands sick. And she said to Joel one day, she said, I understand how it is to be so sick that you can't move from the hospital to the car. It takes all of your energy. So I want to have a drive-by healing. And I want to be able to have them just bring them in the cars, and we will have teams, and we'll have oil, and we'll just anoint them in the car and pray for them. And so ABC picked it up, and so we saw this ABC snip of Dodie out there in Dallas, Texas, having a drive-by healing service as the cars are lined up, and she's opening the door, laying hands on the sick, pouring oil over them, healing, and God's doing miracles, and they're driving back to the hospitals. You see, that's a woman that has become a beautiful dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So for you and I to become lovely, we're going to have to understand a couple of things. Sex is something we're going to have to get under control. If you're not married, you are now celibate. That is your new sexual position, celibacy. That means no masturbation. I'm getting very blank and frank in here. Is that all right? That means that you leave yourself alone, that you don't look at pornography, that you don't let your eyes linger too long on a hunk of a man. I heard that. Oh. I heard that. Why? Because you're made by God to desire a family. And if it's the will of God for you to be single, he'll give you the gift of that. If not, then he will give you the grace to be celibate. Jim was celibate for 2 years before I came into his life. 2 years. It was hard for him because, you know, he's the one that married everybody. And we maintained ourselves, not perfectly, but we did not have sex before we got married because we wanted the blessing of God on our relationship. And I can remember God speaking to me very clearly about sexual relationships. And I had a lot of things in my past, and I needed the cleansing of God, and I needed the forgiveness of God and the washing of God, because I can't go back and undo what happened. But I can step forward and let the blood of Jesus cleanse me and wash me as if I'm free and virginal and fresh and pure, which I did. And on our wedding day, we were both as virginal as we had ever been in our lives because of the blood of Jesus. But I had to learn to keep myself. And that's what it says in 1 Thessalonians. And I'm probably not going to go much more than this today. Is this all right? Are you doing all right with me? For this is the will of God, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. That you keep your vessel, it says in 1 Thessalonians. And actually, I just want to read a little bit more of that. So if you've got your Bibles, go with me to 1 Thessalonians. Because I think this is something that you get tripped up on. I think that your hearts get lonely, your spirits get closed, and you're wanting something. And you're wanting the comfort of a man, or to feel like somebody loves you. And you have a drink or two, and before you know it, you've messed up and then you hate yourself. Has that ever happened to anybody? Don't raise your hands. I know it's happened to you. I don't want to see the hands. It's hard being single. It's hard not having somebody love you and touch you. But you just have to remember that the married women, their husbands don't always love and touch them. Sometimes they, you know, they'd like to just give them the big five. So it's all right. You don't have that, okay? It says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, for this is the will of God, verse 3, that your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess your own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. So God says, I want you to possess your own vessel. What does that mean? Get a hold of those sexual desires and give them to the Holy Spirit. When you are, I don't know how else to say this. This is going to be probably very unlovely. And I'm sorry, but I just need to get the word out. When you're horny, when you're lonely, and when you remember that touch, and when somebody looks at you and gives you attention and it makes you feel so good, because you're made for that, that you go right to the Holy Spirit and you say, oh, put yourself around me right now. Right now. Get out of that place. Don't engage that person. Get in your car and drive away. And put on praise music and praise God and just begin to thank him for his love and his goodness and his mercy. And Lord, I thank you that I have a husband on the way. And I want to prepare my vessel. I want to possess my vessel. I want to be holy and without blame before you. And Lord, I am preparing myself for a man of God. So I just thank you for the grace right now, Father, in Jesus' name, just not to succumb to this temptation. And he gives you a means of escape, and it's called run. All right. Grandma has talked about a little bit about sex. Can we go on?
Yes.
Now to the married. Let's talk about sex. Sex was given by God for the creation of life and oneness. It is a beautiful, absolutely God-given gift. Satan has messed it up bad. But in God, the marriage bed is undefiled. It is between a husband and a wife. A husband and a wife. Not a husband and a wife and a video. A husband and a wife. And whatever you can imagine, whatever you don't have a check from the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to put condemnation on you. That marriage bed is between you and God. But you keep it holy, which means it's the two of you and nobody else. You're not thinking about somebody else. He's not thinking about somebody else. You're not looking at something to get turned on. If you want to use little tools, I don't know about that. I'm not going there. I just ask, why would you need them? He's got all the equipment you'll ever need. Dr. Vanessa can come up here and tell us all about the stuff we got. We got spots on us we didn't even know we had. The G-spot. You taught me about the G-spot. I never knew that. You're all going, huh? Well, look, don't you think our daughters should know about this stuff? God made us. Do you think he put that in there so that we would just go, oh, he went in. So we'd go, oh, wow. Who knew? Come here, babe. Let's find that spot again. Look. Before the fall, it was intimacy before a husband and a wife. And it was because they loved each other and they respected each other and they were thrilled with each other. Do you know my husband loves me today as much as he loved me when I 35 years ago when I was a young woman? I am not a young woman today. I am not. And I you know, it's like lights out. You know, here's the game, honey. Try to find me in the bed. Because you're not seeing nothing. Is this too much information for your pastors? Maybe a candle at the way end of the hall. But the marriage bed was made for intimacy and respect and passion, serving each other and seeking the welfare of your spouse, wanting to love them and wanting to be one with them and close to them. And it's the most beautiful intimacy and oneness that a husband and wife can experience. And it's the oneness of the spirit. It's spirit to spirit. And that's why we guard sexual intimacy. We guard it. Guard it in your home. Don't undress your husband in front of others. Don't demand and demean him in front of other people. Because the spirit is opened in sex. When you have sex, it's spirit to spirit. You are not just giving him your body. You are giving him you. He's not just giving you his body. He's giving you his manhood, his strength, his protection, his love. All that he is a man. He is giving it to you, his wife, his love. And it's a very beautiful and wonderful thing. And you don't pray in tongues when you're having sex. And I don't, okay? I so do not do that. He loves to tease me, and he did that at some men's conference. I was so mad at him. I was so mad at him for a week, you know? He didn't get nothing. I was in sin, because you can't do that. So I figured, sin now, repent later. God, I'm just bad, aren't I? All right, let's move on. So, remember the Holy Spirit witnesses everything. Marriage is a blood covenant. Secrets, confidences, sex, it's all the trust in a marriage. God can mend the memories, but only God has the capacity to forgive and forget. And many memories follow us into marriage. And that's what needs to get cleansed. You want to have a healthy, wonderful relationship with your husband, I really suggest you try breaking free and journey yourself into health and let God just wash those things away from you. Wash those things away so that you can be whole and clean and be a beautiful dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. But if you're not having honest sex right now, you need to stop. It's going to stop your relationship with God. He will not bless you in a time and a place of sin. And he's very, very serious about this. So I wanted to just really cover this with you girls this morning. I want to just talk quick. I'm only going to cover this. I'm not going to go any further, but I want to say this about this. Our spirits can be open or closed, or they can be crushed. What is an open spirit? You are a body. You have a personality. But your spirit is immortal, right? Are you with me? Have I lost you? Okay, we know we're spirit, right? Well, let me tell you what an open spirit is. Let me see if I can find my notes. An open spirit is tender-hearted. A closed spirit is hard-hearted. And a broken spirit is wounded and crushed. We have the capacity as women made in the image of God to open or to crush or to close a human spirit. We have that capacity. I can open Jim's spirit or I can close his spirit. And then when I want to play, he's gone off to his man cave and I can't find him. Because I closed his spirit. I've disrespected him. I've said something. I haven't said powerful words like, I was wrong, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I haven't said those words. And so he's gone, and he's gone for the day. Because he's now going to punish me because I've closed his spirit. I have the power to do that. I also have the power to open up my husband's spirit. I have the power and the ability, and I'm talking about being a lovely place for God to dwell. I have the power to just go to my husband and to build him up and to say things to him that he needs to hear. Because men can seem like they're rough and tough, but they love a tender heart and they love a tender touch from their wives. Men need to know that they're your hero. Men need to know that we respect them. Men need to know that we believe in them. A closed man, a man with a closed spirit, his spirit can be closed because he's just lost his job or he's not making enough money or you're making more money than he is and he doesn't feel right about that. Because on the inside of him is built the capacity, just like on the inside of us is built things by God, on the inside of a man is built the capacity to protect and to cover and to carry the home. And when he is not able to do that, I can guarantee you his spirit is closed and you've got to open it. And fighting and disagreeing, disrespecting, saying things that aren't kind, words that wound and tear, those will close our husbands up and they will go find that man cave wherever it could be and then they will not play with us for the rest of the day. Have you noticed that? Has anybody got a man like that? Mm-hmm. And you know when you've closed them up. Do I have a witness? Am I talking? Do you understand what I'm saying? And God says, girls, don't do that. You're a beautiful dwelling place. You have beautiful clothes. You make a beautiful home. So what opens a spirit? And an open spirit. What is an open spirit? Tender-hearted. A tender-hearted person lives a blessed life. A hard-hearted person lives a hard life. Proverbs 28:14. God's daughters are made in the image of God to bring goodness and tenderness to the planet. We are not the Gestapo. We are not God's Nazis. We are not sandpaper to sandpaper down our husbands so that they behave. We are to respect and to love them, and I can close Jim up faster than anybody on this planet. I have the power to do that. A closed spirit is shut down, hard-hearted. Matthew 19:8. He said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives. From the beginning, it was not so. Men's hearts get hard, and they divorce their wives. A man that is hard-hearted has left the building. Now, if you've got a hard-hearted man, and you've done this, you need to go repent. First to God. Say, Lord, I don't know what I did. I'm blind to my stupidity. But help me now and show me how as a wife, as a mother, and as the wife to this man, I can rebuild this and I can open his spirit back up. And it's going to take time because sometimes these things get closed and they're closed. And that's where divorce happens. And 50% of Christian women are divorced just like the world. So something's happening here, girls. And God chose us to open and close. Now, of course, he can close your spirit and he can wound you. But we're tougher than that. So get a little tough skin. Can I tell you that?
Amen.
We don't have to get offended over every stupid thing they say. Right. And God knows they're going to say stupid things. They're men.
Yeah.
They're sons. I mean, we say stupid things, don't we? We act stupid. We don't even know how to find a car in the parking lot. And then we expect them to listen to us? Come on, they're men. They need a woman that they can trust and go to, and they know that they are safe, she will do them only good and not evil all the days of her life, and that she will love him unconditionally, and she will choose love and not offense every time. And when we start to do that, we're going to watch our men bloom and blossom far more than we've seen before, and that's all on us because she's a beautiful dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Now, with your sex life with your husband, just make sure that you don't say no to him. It's important. You married girls, you need to have a healthy sex life. You need to be touched. You need to touch him. And older women, if things are changing, it's okay. You still love and touch and hold and build up our men, because we are there and made to do that for them. That's our creation role. Now, I know that they can be bozos, and I know they can break your hearts, and we'll cover that later. But right now, I'm covering you being a beautiful dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's got assignment on you. How many of you in here are married? All right, I want the married women to stand up. If you're married, stand up. Now, if you have a great marriage, good on you. Wonderful. If your marriage is okay, it could use improvement, there's hope. If your marriage is horrible right now, there is hope. Don't give up. It's not time to quit yet, because I believe God can turn it around. So I thought it would be good for us, because I'm going to close with this, because the single girls, so nobody else in here is married, right? All right, so that's you're the celibate girls, right? All right, okay. Just checking. So the married girls, I just thought it would be appropriate for us to pray. For us to pray over our husbands this morning. For us to pray over our lives this morning. For us to ask God to forgive us if we have closed them, to show us how to be sensitive to open their hearts, and to be everything that God wants us to be in their lives. Would you like to do that? Amen. So would you just reach across and grab somebody's hand, and Christelli, I'll just grab your hand so that we're one continuous thing. I'm way over time today. You only have 30 minutes at the tables. Okay, I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for these lovely women. In every stage of life, you've made them beautiful. And you've made us to dwell beautifully on the earth. Now, Lord, we have done things in our own wisdom and in our own flesh. And, Lord, we have done things that have not helped or built up our husbands, but it's actually torn them down. So, Father, we ask that you would forgive us right now and cleanse us in the blood of Jesus. Misspoken words, wrong actions, things that we've done, Lord, forgive us. And Lord, we lift our husbands to you. And we ask that you would bless them. We ask that you would cause them to be strong, courageous. We ask that you would give them favor, Father, from heaven. And Lord, that you would heal their bodies. And you would heal their minds. And Lord, that you would draw close to our husbands and that they would hear your voice. They would have faith to lead our families as never before. That they would be warriors in the house of God, sentries over their families, hearing the voice of the Lord, knowing the will of God and the way in which the family is to go. So we bless our husbands, Lord. We ask that you'd help us to be the wives that they need in this hour. Lord, I pray over our sexual lives, Father, that it would be healed and whole and wonderful. That, Lord, that you who have made pleasure, you who have made us for pleasure and put things in us that we don't even know, Lord. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. That, Lord, you'd join pleasure to our couples. And, Lord, that they would just devour each other and be magnificent lovers, knowing that it pleases you, Father, that this is a good thing and not a bad thing. That sex in the kingdom of God is undefiled, it's holy, it's fun, it's wonderful. And, Lord, may they just have a great time in bed. I can't believe I just prayed that, Father. But I thank you, Lord. And Lord, for those that want babies, if you want a baby and you've not had a baby and you need children and your womb's not open, can you just lift your hands right now? Is that anybody in here? Does anybody need children? You're married. You have to be married. Okay, if you want to stand in for somebody. Okay, so I just see the one little girl in the red t-shirt right there. Put your hands on her. Lay your hands on her right there. Anybody else? Is there anybody else? This mother's standing in for a daughter. Okay, anybody else? Right there. Okay, make sure hands are on somebody if she's believing God. God opens the womb. God is the one that gives birth. So, Father, we are asking you as girlfriends, 2011, Lord, as we're studying Proverbs 31, and Lord, you gave us sex and intimacy as a beautiful, wonderful gift, and it also brings life. So, Lord, I just pray now in Jesus' name that you open the wombs of these women, that you heal what needs to be healed by the blood of Jesus. May the blood of the Lamb of God just fix that which is wrong. Open, Lord, open the fallopian tubes. Open, restore where there's scar tissue. Father, just do what you need to do. I don't know what's wrong, but you made them and you know how to fix them. So, God, we're asking that you fix them, and we're asking to do it in the name of Jesus. And I just pray, Father, for healthy marriages at the Rock, that we be known as a church that is madly in love with each other, fertile, having children, laughing, loving, having a great time, and being beautiful and living beautifully as your daughters. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Woohoo!